is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Call his name, Jesus. So last week we began a new series, Be Still and Move On, which is a seemingly self-contradictory concept. So how do you stay still and move on at the same time? And as we went through the lesson, we learned that the Bible is full of paradoxes, such as you really don't begin to live until you die. How many of you know that's why we're living in a world full of walking corpses? Still moving, still walking, still talking. Why? Because unless a man is born again, for all intents and purposes, you're still dead. Watch this scripture here, Colossians chapter 2. It says, when you were dead in your sin, how many of you know we were all dead in our sin? And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us some of our sins. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, his last words was, "It is finished." In the Greek, it's one word, it's tetelestai. Basically, tetelestai is an accounting term which means paid in full. So, honey, I'm here to tell, that's good news. Because I'm here to tell you, no matter what kind of an invoice, what kind of a bill you rung up in your sinful escapades, paid in full. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed, come on, y'all used to sing the song, I think, in here somewhere. I needed someone to wash my sin away. Thank God for Jesus Christ. So this is just another example of biblical paradoxes. You don't live until you really die. Therefore, we need to be still and we need to move on. So this morning, I want us to focus on moving on in our Christian walk. Amen? In Exodus chapter 14, verse 9, this was our context. This is when Moses is coming out of Egypt. They're about to cross the Red Sea. The Bible reads, "The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Haroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die?'" Just dripping with sarcasm there, huh? "What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, fear not. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." So the lesson that we learned in the last message is that we walk by faith and not by sight. So no matter how intimidating the sea is, no matter how big the giant is, stop telling your God how big your storm is. Start speaking to your storm and telling your storm how big your God is. We don't, as a people who walk by faith, saints of God, we don't let our emotions lead us. We don't let our knowledge lead us. Here, let me break one open for you here. We don't let our heart lead us. How many hear people today saying, "Oh, Let your heart lead you. I want to be led by my heart, especially in a romantic, let your heart lead you. Let me tell you what the Bible says about your heart, honey. Jeremiah 17:9. Go ahead and throw that up there for me, Caleb. Says your heart is deceitful. And above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Talking about your heart. It's talking about my heart. Who can know it? So my question is, do you still want to follow your heart? You better think again, somebody. So we are a people who are not led by our sight. We're not led by our emotions. We're not led by our heart, but rather we are led by the voice of God through the Holy Spirit and through His written word. Somebody say amen. Amen. So in order to walk by faith, we have to bring our emotions and our intellect under subjection of the Holy Spirit. We need to be still. And listen, saints, we cannot be led by our past experiences, whether good or bad. Isaiah 43:18, most of you know this scripture by heart. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, take a look. Watch, I'm doing a new thing. How many of you are ready for a new thing? So forget the former things. Forget your past life. Listen, Judah, your past does not dictate your future. Where you've been does not determine where you are going. Somebody thank God. What you've done in the past doesn't decree or declare or limit what you are about to do. This should excite somebody in the house. Look at Moses, our case study. He had a speech impediment. He murdered a man in the desert. After he murdered him, he buried him in the sand, mafia style. You thought Al Capone figured that out. No, honey. Read your Bible, Exodus chapter 2. Moses dug a grave and buried the guy. We're talking about Moses. He never went to the school of miracles. He didn't go to the seminary. He didn't have his doctorate degree in theology. He was never taught the proper way to stretch out his staff. You know how we have to pray a certain way and use certain verbiage. Oh, I'm trying to talk to somebody here this morning. You see, Moses didn't go through all that schooling. He never learned how to develop a three-point sermon, how to properly speak to Pharaoh. You see, when Moses was 80 years old, God called him. Instead of retiring, Moses was refiring somebody. I'm just trying to help some seasoned saints here this morning. So even with some struggles that he had, even with his excuses and his trepidation, he found a yes, Lord, in his spirit. That's what our God is looking for this morning. He's looking for somebody to say, yes, Lord. Like the prophet Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. That's what our God is looking for, church. Come on, is there a yes, Lord, in the house this morning? Watch this. In Luke chapter 5, I'll summarize the story for you. Most of you know it. Peter and his crew, they fished all night long, and they came up with a goose egg. All right, that for you non-sports fan, that's a sports analogy for a zero. Saturday, nothing. They got a goose egg, nothing. Fished all night, came up with nothing. So Jesus, in the morning, gets in the boat, and he uses it as his pulpit. So he preaches to the people because there was such a big crowd. So he uses one of the boats that he preaches. And after he's done with his sermon, he tells Peter, push the boat out into the net, or the boat out into the deep, and then drop your nets down. Now Peter, an experienced fisherman, knows, first of all, this is not the correct place to catch fish. Neither is it the right time. Commercial fishing is done at night. Come on, Jesus. Everybody knows that. Now's not the right time. But here's Peter's words. Nevertheless, Lord, at your word. The Bible says they let the nets down and caught so many fish that the their nets began to tear. They called their partners. There was a second boat on shore. They said, hey, bro, we need some help. Come on out here. They start putting the fish in both boats. The Bible says, read it carefully. It says both boats began to sink because there were so many fish in them. I'm trying to tell somebody, our God is a God of exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. He's a net-breaking God. He's a boat-sinking God. So God wants to sink your boat, my brother, my sister, with a blessing. God is just looking for a willing vessel. Well, Pastor, I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the education. I don't have the experience. But Pastor, don't you know I was born black? I was born white. I was born a woman. I was born Latino. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody here this morning. Now's not the right time in my life. This is not the right place. Don't you know that this is McKeesport? What good can come from McKeesport? Come on, does that sound like a familiar phrase? Listen to me, somebody. None of these things matter if God is in your boat. So I want to encourage somebody to invite God into your boats. He's just looking for a yes, Lord. Here am I, Lord. He's looking for a nevertheless, Lord. I heard you speak. Things aren't right. I don't have the money. I don't live in the right place. I don't have the education. But nevertheless, Lord, I'm moving on. The life of a true Christian should never be stagnant. We should always be moving on. Watch this. Stagnation in the natural breeds death. Stagnation breeds disease. I hope somebody's hearing this morning. How many of you are familiar with the Dead Sea? Now, this is not a trick question. Does anybody know why it's called the Dead Sea? Why is it called the Dead Sea? It's dead. There it is. I thought we was going to have to wait till like 2 o'clock to get that answer out of somebody. I told you it wasn't a trick question. It's called the Dead Sea because there's nothing living in it. Now, here's a little tougher question. Why is everything in the Dead Sea dead? Why is there no life? Say it again.
Nothing flows into it.
Backwards. Watch. Nothing flows out of it. The Dead Sea is located at the lowest point on earth. All the water flows into it. Nothing flows out of it. Somebody have their spiritual antennas up here yet? There's no outlet for the water. It's all input with no output breeds death. Let me take this into the spiritual realm then, right? If you're feeling dead spiritually, maybe you don't have an outlet. Maybe you're only receiving and never giving. I'm not talking about money, somebody. I know this is a little coarse, but yeah, I had a friend that used to say Christians are like spiritually constipated. Did somebody get a revelation there? But listen, watching all the preachers all the time, I'm on my Zoom calls, I attend Bible study, and that's all fine, but the question is, what are you doing with it? We are not called to be just hearers, but doers of love the word. What's the first word in the Great Commission? Go. Somebody shout go. We're called to go, Judah. My. We're talking about going and growing. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed. That's perpetual in the Greek. It's nonstop, 24/7, constant happening, into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So all of us saints of God who are born again, we're filled with the Spirit, should have an ever increasing glory in our life. Right? So now here comes your spiritual exam. Here comes Dr. Mike. Just like your natural doctor, right? Here's where I start prodding and poking. So don't get uncomfortable on me. So the question is God's glory increasing in your life? We're just taking a spiritual checkup here. Is he increasing in my life? Is there any visual proof of spiritual growth in your life? If you took a snapshot of your spiritual life from a year ago or 2 years ago, do you look any different spiritually today as you did then? Or have you moved from glory to glory? Have you grown? Do you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday? Is there visual proof of spiritual maturity? Are you moving on in the things of God? You're still in the doctor's office, so don't go away. Is there any audible proof? Bingo. Ouch. Amen. Oh me, could say something there. How's our language? Are we still cussing out our boss and our spouse and our children? Are we cussing out our neighbor? Or have we learned to praise God in all situations? Are we still gossiping and backbiting and being divisive? Or are we edifying and building one another up? Listen, church, we're talking about the spiritual man. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, I'll just read it to you. It says, though outwardly we are wasting away. How many of you can say amen to that? Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? Now, if you looked at a regular photo of yourself 10 or 20 years ago, how many of you know there's some decaying going on? Now, on my computer desktop, I have a photo. It's Darla and I and the boys when they were, Caleb was just a newborn, so that's 18 years ago, roughly, right? In that photo, there's a young brother and a hot wife. The wife is still hot, but the brother ain't so young anymore. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying here. But I like to think of myself as a fine wine. Yeah, baby. 60 looks good on you, bro. You know, when you buy a nice, well, even yesterday I looked at a thing of vinegar, you know, aged. I mean, that's like a good thing. Aged. Come on, somebody say aging is a good thing. Come on, somebody. But saints of God, we are moving on. From glory to, let me read this in the King James. Watch this, watch. Gives a little different twist on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, same scripture. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me break something down here for you this morning. The word glory in the original Greek language is doxa. The word doxa simply means in the Greek language an opinion or a worldview or a philosophy. Watch now. Before I was saved, God's taken us from doxa to doxa. From one opinion to another opinion, right? From one worldview to another worldview. You see, before I was saved, I thought abortion was a good thing. I'm just telling you my story. It's not a child. That's a mass of tissue. I'm not paying for no child that I don't want. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. But now doxa to doxa. I've changed my mind. I have another opinion. I have another worldview. I now realize that it was He who formed me in my mother's womb. From doxa to doxa. Before I was saved, I thought shacking up was okay. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me, but that's all right. You're still in the doctor's office. Don't go anywhere. Because you haven't got the medicine yet. I used to think playing house was okay. You know, like relationships were like a pair of shoes. You needed to try them on before you bought them. Y'all hearing me? But God has taken me from doxa to doxa. I now have a biblical worldview that says God created them male and female, and God created the first institution, which is the marriage, and we are to procreate, so the family is God's creation, that we are married together. So the Lord is taking us. Come on, do I get a witness in this house? Has anybody in here gone from doxa to doxa? You see, before I was saved, I was prejudiced toward black folk. I'm just going to go ahead and talk to y'all. I was prejudiced toward white folk. I was prejudiced toward Latinos. I was prejudiced toward the wealthy people. Come on, Judah, what's my two favorite words? But God took this heart of disdain and gave me a heart of compassion towards everybody. He overwhelms me with His love for others. For God so loved the world. We're moving from doxa to doxa, from glory to glory, from one opinion to another opinion, from one worldview to another worldview. We are being transformed, listen, into the image of Jesus Christ. Come on, are we getting this thing this morning? So, Pastor, how do we do this? Okay, now here comes your medicine, y'all. Here it comes. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Take this daily. Here it is. Do not conform. Somebody say conform. To the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Somebody say transformed. By the renewing of your mind. You see, that word to conform in the Greek is asukematizo. I'm not going to ask you to repeat that. But it means to change one's mind and character to another pattern. Sukematizo also has the connotation that the change is from an outside source or outside pressure. For example, some of you, maybe when you were children, you played with Play-Doh. You took the putty and you molded it and made it, and you You got it? You put the outside pressure, suske matizo, you formed it into another mold. Or maybe you built a castle out of sand on the beach. Or maybe you used a cookie cutter to make cookies. In other words, you're putting outside pressure to form something into what you want it to be formed into. You're conforming something into the pattern or shape by applying outside pressure. The Bible says, do not be conformed by the outside pressure. Listen, saints of God, we are being bombarded every day as individuals constantly from the world to conform, to think as they do, to speak as they do, to act as they do. It's on our TVs, our radio stations, our electronic devices 24/7, 365 days a year. It's a non-stop barrage. It's a constant assault of our worldview. And heaven forbid, if you don't speak like they do, if you don't act like they do, even if you think like they do, in today's world, they just cancel you. No dissenting views permitted. If you don't think as they do, they label you as a bigot, a homophobe, racist, xenophobic, on and on and on. We're living in a nation, listen church, listen closely, that permits Al-Qaeda on social media, but they cancel an American president. I don't care where you lie politically. I'm talking about free speech here. I'm talking about propaganda. I'm talking about outside conforming. We're living in a nation today that banks allow organizations like MoveOn.org with George Soros, who funnels finances to anarchists and terrorists like Antifa, but they cancel Mike Lindell from MyPillow because he doesn't agree with their politics. There's an assault on free speech in our nation, if you're not aware of that yet. It's going to start, listen to me, it's starting politically. It's going to end up here at the pulpit. The level of vitriol in our nation towards anyone who has a true Christian worldview is at an unprecedented level. And it's on the increase, so buckle up, buttercup, it's coming. Not to mention, we just talked about this a couple of weeks ago, what's going on in Canada, whereby if you simply counsel somebody about transgendering, you could wind up in prison for 5 years. Where in Canada, and I'm going to read the scripture here a little bit later, if you just simply read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 or any other passages that deal with immoral sexual lifestyles, you're considered intolerant and a homophobe and a bigot, and you're considered out of step with the world. You're out of step with progress. Honey, listen. If anybody ever tells you that you're out of step with the world, say thank you. Go ahead, rejoice. Get your little happy dance on right there, because it's confirmation you're on the right track, honey. The Bible says, do not be conformed from this outside pressure, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transformed in the Greek comes from the metamorpho, which we derive our English word metamorphosis. It's a change that happens not from the outside, but from the inside out. Y'all follow with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The change happens on the inside, but it will manifest on the outside. There's an exterior exchange. The outside look. All right, let me step to our culture here for a minute. Talk to the sisters for a hot minute here, right? When Jesus comes in and you got the Holy Spirit, you're not all over Facebook showing everything. Because there's an inside transformation that should be manifesting on the outside. Come on, if my sister's got that, say amen. Now to the brothers. When you got the Holy Spirit in you, You don't walk around downtown with your drawers. Nobody wants to see your Fruit of the Looms. I don't understand that, honestly. Brothers walk around, can't even walk holding their pants up. Belts are on sale at Walmart, they're about $10. I'll even buy you a reversible one so it'll be two colors for you. But see, church, listen. From the inside, the Holy Spirit is working. We are being transformed into the image of God. Amen. Is there anybody here that's thankful you're changed today? Come on. Now, one of the most common analogies of a metamorphosis is the changing of a tadpole to a frog. We're going to do a little biology 101 here this morning for you. How many of you know that Jesus used natural examples to teach supernatural principles? Now, watch this. How many of you are familiar with a tadpole and a frog? Everybody understand the metamorphosis, right? Begins as a tadpole, turns into a frog. You know, once it becomes a tadpole, once it becomes a frog, there's no going back. I just said something there, y'all. Once you're saved, honey, there ain't no going back. The frog has completely changed its character. It's gone through a metamorphosis. It's gone through a transformation, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. The tadpole is no longer even recognizable because now it's a different creature. I'm preaching. Somebody speak to me this morning. And when it changes, watch, it receives a new name. It's no longer identified as a tadpole. It's a frog. It has a new name. It has a new identity. Do you not realize that the day you were born again, you received a new name in heaven? You received a new identity. Somebody in the house needs to thank God. That frog no longer has a tail dragging behind it. Other tadpoles may see their old friend. Now a frog and ask, hey, where'd your tail go? The frog answers, it must have fallen off somewhere along the way. We're talking about changing, y'all. We're talking about moving on from glory to glory. See, your friends might see you 10 years later. Hey, where'd that addiction go? I remember when you used to party like nobody's business. Whoops. It must have fallen. I know you when you used to cuss like a sailor. Now you're praising God. What happened? Whoops. It must have fallen off. I remember when you used to drink the whole bar under the table. Now you're drinking ginger ale. What happened? Whoops. Come on, does somebody hear what I'm saying in here this morning? You used to get mad at every little thing. Now you're so patient. Where did all that anger go? Whoops. Must have fallen off somewhere along the way. Saints of God, we go from hell to holiness from the inside out. Somebody give God a praise for the Holy Spirit. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds through the written word of God. Now, you can either be conformed from the outside or be transformed from the inside. You can't be both. Your worldview is either going to be shaped by CNN or Dr. Phil or Tamron or Oprah or some of these other or the likes, or it's going to be transformed by the Holy Spirit and the Bible. Make your choice. If you listen to the news today, all old white men are racist oppressors. All young black men are thugs. Neither are true. Did somebody hear me? Neither are true. That's critical theory. It's Marxism 101, and that's what the world is throwing at us every day. Listen to me. In order to divide us. But somebody in the house of Judah, thank God that we as the body of Christ are one. We are bought by the blood of the Lamb. Whether Greek or Jew or rich or poor, whether we're black or white or yellow or brown, it's the blood of Jesus in Christ that we are united. Somebody in this place needs to let the world know of our unity here in the house of Judah. Somebody give him 15 seconds to pray. Come on, Judah. Come on, Judah. Hey, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Pastor, I never used to be comfortable around black folk. Oops. This is on fire, somebody. First Corinthians chapter 6. Watch. If we were in Canada, you'd have to raise up some bail money here. Beginning with verse 9. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not, somebody say will not, inherit the kingdom of God? He's writing this to the church. Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Okay, somebody's going to get offended here. Nor men who have sex with men. Oops. Sorry, PC crowd. Little cupcakes are... Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers. These are not my words, I'm just the messenger. Nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And that is what some of you were. How many of us used to live? It's some of these crazy lifestyles. Come on, do I got a witness in here? Come on, Judah. What's my two favorite words? We moved on because we were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified. We've been forgiven. Our sin has been removed. We've received a new name. You've been born again and filled with His Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Bible is clear to say, Judah, listen to this. This is good. When you're in Christ, old things have passed away. And behold, all things become new. I got to break this down for you. That word, all things become new, is not like you got a new kitchen. Watch. You had a kitchen, and it got refaced. It got redone. Bathroom, you get it redone. That's not what that's talking about. Okay? It's not like you had a 1980 Ford Escort. You drove it to a car dealership, and you drove out with a 2022 Ford Escort, just revamped. No. Here's what that word means. You drive in an old beat-up rust bucket Ford Escort, and you come driving out as a Bentley. Are there any Ferraris in the house? Are there any Mercedes-Benz in the house? Are there any Lambos in the house? Come on, church. You were an old rust bucket, but I'm telling you, the moment you stepped in to the presence of God and He cleansed you, you come out like a Porsche 911, honey. Old things are past. Behold, all things are new. Somebody must be happy that you're no longer a drug addict. Somebody must be happy that you've been delivered from alcohol. Somebody's happy that they're delivered from a nicotine addiction or from pornography, or you no longer have cussing issues and anger issues. My. You see, church, as we read the word and apply it to our lives, or actually more accurately, apply our lives to the word of God and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ, as we constantly, consistently go to church and listen to good preaching, as we hang out with other true believers, our old tails are dropping off. Oops. Oh, well, that was a song. There it is. No. Whoops. There it goes. My.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
As we transform from the inside out, our old tadpole friends might say, how are you hopping on land and we're still stuck in this mud and in this water? Your reply is, because I have new legs. I have new lungs. I'm not stuck in the cesspool of a sinful life any longer. I can now go where a tadpole can never go. I now live an abundant life that tadpoles can only dream about. When we're a new creature in Christ, we can go where the old man could never go. We can now walk in areas of peace that the world will never know. We can bask on the mountains of joys that others will never reach. We can run through the meadows of provision that the world can only dream about. We can roam in the land of the guilt-free, come on somebody, free of shame that those living in the cesspool of life will never experience. But most of all, with this new life, with the transformation, we can now boldly walk into the presence of Almighty God and come before our Father and freely ask Him anything that we need. Come on, somebody, thank God for your new life. Last verse, we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, same scripture, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That didn't say be in church. Mm-hmm. All things are past, behold, all things become new. But you have to be, listen, church, you have to be in Christ. You cannot hang around Him. In the scriptures, you'll find a whole lot of people that were around Jesus Christ, but they never came to saving faith or to know Him as the Messiah or as Lord. Too many people just want to hang around. They want to follow Jesus at a distance. Look what happened to Peter when he followed Jesus at a distance. The Bible says he denied Him and even cursed him out. I'm talking about being in Christ, not being in the church. You hear a lot of folks saying, oh, you grew up in the church. You got to be in church. Listen, church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into a garage makes you a car. Church is a good place. We need to be here, even as the day approaches, Hebrews 10 and 25 states. But how many of you know that you could be in church all your life and never be in Christ? There are churches around the world full of people that are going to bust hell right open. I don't know, maybe y'all don't want to hear this kind of preaching, but listen. Listen to me, especially if you're watching by this video, this is one of the greatest deceptions of the enemy. I'm here just to fulfill my religious duty. I'll be okay. Everything will be all right. I'm going to give my couple dollars into the offering. Everything will be fine. No, you won't. However, if you are truly in Christ, your heart's desire will to be in church and to love the church, even as Christ loved the church. So the metamorphosis, the change, the transformation begins with being born again. That is the starting point. Amen. If you've been born again, why don't you put your hands together and praise our Father in here? Come on and stand with me, please.
Come on, Judah. Come on, Judah. Come on, Judah. Hey.
When you come into His presence. to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation. To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.